April 27th. It's already passed. So the question is, did anyone ever get Lynn Davis a nice card or something? Typically, you would, in a church situation, you'd expect a pastor to be the one who would, you know, do that. But I guess when you're in it, don't ask me, I'm just a filler. But somebody ought to do it. There are a lot of these kind of special days. You know, they say that Hallmark creates them in order to boost their sales. Anna, I'm sorry, I don't think there is a National Organist Day. But there should be. I'm involved with this ministry known as Living Waters for the World. We install water treatment systems in developing countries. So I'm partial to the United Nations created World Water Day. We have a lot of special days during the church year, of course. And I would say they fall into three categories. One, there's the biggies. The ones everybody, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Good Friday, Easter. The one that has sort of worked ourselves into the consciousness of everyday life. Then there are a lot of days that are celebrated by most, maybe not all, or a great many Christian denominations. Pentecost, I know it's probably maybe the best known. There's Christ the King Sunday in November, World Communion Sunday. Baptism of the Lord Sunday. I guess you figure maybe Ash Wednesday would be in there. It's Ascension Day. The third category relates to resolutions that particular denominations would pass to recognize certain days. And there's a lot of them that pop up there because there's always a cause to be celebrated and or concerned about. We have Celebrating the Gifts of Women Sunday, AIDS Awareness Sunday, Theological Education Sunday, Homelessness / Affordable Housing Sunday. Today is Trinity Sunday. And it falls in that middle group. It's one of those Sundays recognized by a lot of people, but it's not one that's sort of penetrated into the minds of most folks. I bet none of you remembered that it was Trinity Sunday when you drove to church. The church also has a number of doctrines. Thus, I'm calling this sermon The Day and the Doctrine. There's the doctrine of justification, the doctrine of atonement, everybody's favorite, the doctrine of predestination. But one of the best known theological doctrines is the doctrine of the Trinity. What is it that we mean when we say that we worship these three forms of God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You sometimes hear our God is described as Trinitarian or triune, or meaning three parts. Over the years, many preachers have taken a run at explaining the doctrine of the Trinity to their flock. Several years back, I served as an interim at the Winchester Church. They had a fire in the early 70s, and the historic building, which was in the middle of town, just a block or so from the courthouse, was a total loss. They decided to take the insurance money and build a new building 2 miles away out on the bypass. They were able to save some of the stone and a few of the stained glass windows from the old building and incorporate it into the new building. There was one that I saw when I was there that I always found interesting, and I've sketched it out. You have it on your insert. So this is my recollection, anyway, of this stain, I guess you'd call it a stained glass window, a special window that's now in the Winchester Church. And you see this sort of graphic representation of this concept of the Trinity. There's God in the middle, and God is those three things on the outside. God is the Father, is the Son, is the Holy Spirit. but they are, the sun is not, or it is somewhat separate from the concept of the Son, or Jesus is somewhat separate from the concept of the Holy Spirit. There's another explanation of the Trinity that I heard once. It's a little like water. You know, a water molecule, H2O, that can be ice, it can be a liquid, or it can be a gas, depending on what the temperature is, right? The ice, the water liquid, or the water vapor. That's not too bad an analogy. You know, it's the same molecule all the time, it's these three different things. Well, the problem with that analogy is we would say that God is all of these things all the time. You know, it doesn't transition from one thing to the other. Of course, there's the various sports analogies. I remember the one, you know, basketball. You can be a guard, you can be a center, or you can be a forward, but you're all on the same team. I guess it was all right, but when they start talking about, you know, point guards and shooting guards and power forwards and small forwards, that sort of broke down. We don't worship a five-part guy. Well, who is it that started this talk about the three different manifestations of God? Well, I guess you would say that Jesus did. In the so-called Great Commission at the end of the Gospel according to Matthew. Friends, listen for God's word from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always, to the end of the age." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. So, Jesus and others in the New Testament spoke of these three forms of God. The verses that Brooke read from Romans a few minutes ago, that's another example that the three things are all sort of worked in. But the Bible, it doesn't really talk about the doctrine of the Trinity. You don't find the word Trinity anywhere. And so despite the fact that the Bible hints at it, it really is some centuries before we find the doctrine of the Trinity emerging as we know it today. And some have said it was necessary to confront others who believed in multiple gods. And I can kind of imagine a conversation between someone who believed in the Greek pantheon of gods and an early Christian. The early Christian saying, "Well, there's only one God." And the other Greek guy saying, "Well, no, wait a minute. I know we've got five or six, but you've got at least three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We hear you talking about that all the time." So the doctrine of the Trinity, it sort of seems to have come out of that kind of situation. So, explaining how these three manifestations are in fact one God. Many consider the Nicene Creed, you may have read that at times during church, written in 325 AD. That was sort of the moment when it was solidified. Of course, for many of us, it's the Holy Spirit that's the hardest to get a handle on. I like to describe it as the presence of God in our lives. Maybe it's that extra bit of holiness that you might feel on Christmas Eve or watching a beautiful sunset, sitting at the bedside of someone who's dying. Maybe it's the positive feelings you get when you've helped out with a mission activity or done a good deed. Maybe it's little pangs of guilt that you
I feel, passed up the chance to do a good deed. Maybe it's whatever keeps you going during a hard time. Maybe it's the support you might feel from family and friends in their prayers. Maybe all those things and more. Some have attempted to come up with alternative ways of describing the Trinity, you know, sort of as a way of providing some variation in the liturgy, so you don't have to use those same words every time. I recall one option I heard once, rock, cornerstone, and temple. It was about 10 years ago, people got kind of worried about this trend, finding these alternative ways of talking about it. So people at the national offices of the denomination in Louisville, they created a paper that described a number of the ones that people were using, cited several of them more or less favorably. One I remember was the one to whom, the one by whom, and the one in whom we offer our praise. The controversial option was compassionate mother, beloved child, and life-giving womb. When this came before the General Assembly, the response was nuanced. It was voted to receive the report rather than adopt or approve. So it's not official policy. But these different ways of describing our three-part God, these different analogies, they all have strengths and weaknesses. I'm going to tell you one that I like the best. It's to think of God in somewhat the same way that we think of many of us. All of us are the child of our parents. Many of us are the spouse of our husband or wife. And many more of us are the parent of our children. So if you're someone for whom all those things apply, child, spouse, parent, those are all different, but essential, vital characteristics of your being. And you are all those things all the time. The analogy, it's not perfect. But our God is something like that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God. One God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All the time. Amen.
Thank you. Lord.